saw a little bit of information on the video loop there. But it's our prayer Sunday, and we're going to approach this prayer Sunday different than we ever have before here at Gateway. So if you've been around Gateway for a while, you know that we set aside one or two Sundays a year to devote in our gathering times to prayer, the entire gathering time. That's what we'll be doing, be worshiping music. We're going to do some things different this next week. I'm really excited about it. And we will be praying for marriages. We'll be praying for families. We'll be praying for individuals. We'll be praying for healing. We'll be praying for restoration and all these things as well, too, and taking time to just worship God and gathering around the communion tables and so on. So that's next Sunday. There's a card in your seat there, so grab it on your way out and use it to invite somebody. So I believe in prayer. Do you? I believe prayer works. So that's what we'll be doing next Sunday. It's going to be great. Hey, thanks for coming today. And like, if this is your first Sunday here, then you're part of this community. That's how long it takes you to become a part. Right there, you walked in the door. So here you are. And if we haven't had a chance to meet, I hope we can in the lobby. Afterwards, Jen and I have been gone a last couple weeks on some days away. And missed you while we were away, and so good to be home. Thanks to David and Mario for teaching, and so on. David, last week, you know, talked about Gateway's commitment to reaching our community, and so on. And we have a local missions team, discipleship team that focuses on that. And you had a just great response last week.
It was. We shared some of the needs for our meals ministry and had a number of people say they'd like to come and serve. And some even said they'd like to come and cook, which is a huge need. So praise God.
Yeah,
thank you.
Isn't that
thank
awesome?
You.
So anyway, that's fantastic. You know, over 6,000 meals now served out of this kitchen over here to needy people in our
every
community.
Every year.
So thank you for doing that. You know, it wasn't the Pope's idea to feed people. I'm glad he restated it, but he was just quoting somebody else.
Yeah.
You know who that was, don't you? Yeah, exactly. Jesus, you know, we're to go into all the world and make disciples. That's why we do what we do. So thanks so much. Well, we've been talking about a number of things in this series called This Is Why. This is why we do what we do. And you know, the Gateway is focused on just one thing, that's making disciples. Following the command of Jesus to go into all the world and make disciples. We know to make disciples, we have to be a
disciple.
Okay, yeah. To make disciples, we have to be a disciple, right? So John 8:31 says, you're my disciple when you do these things, when you follow his commands, the commands of Jesus, when you obey him. So that's what we've been talking about. So the pathway to discipleship at Gateway, this is how we kind of describe it, is this. Gather together like what we're doing this morning. So we come together in corporate worship. You know, it's interesting because over the last many years, gathering together like we're doing today, and I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago, has really slipped. You know, the average churchgoer attends about once every 7 weeks, something like that, and you're a regular church member. It has just slipped. Now, I know that schedules get what they are and busy and sports and all this kind of stuff, but Jesus calls us to gather together. Something happens when we come together in a corporate setting like this to worship God. We don't always get to know each other really, really well because we're looking at the back of somebody's head usually. But we gather together because he calls us to do that. We worship him corporately. And then we grow together. And a couple weeks ago, Mario taught on that. Mario leads our group ministry. We grow in a group together. So we gather and then we grow together. So that's why we ask and invite everyone to be a part of a group. You may be a part of a group that Gateway does. You might be a part of another group. I'm involved in two groups, a men's group early on Thursday morning. We gather at 6, just guys. And then a marriage group on Wednesday evenings. We co-lead with the Clarks and so on. So we're involved in a couple groups. And we invite people to be involved in a group because it's in a group setting that we really grow together. So we gather together, then we grow together. And then we as a faith community, we go together. So everybody say go, 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 go. We go together. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. That's what David talked about last week. We go together into our community. We go together into our region. We go together into the world. Now, do you know what that command that Jesus gives us in Matthew, we'll see it in just a moment, 28, you know what that command go means? It means to do what? Go. Yeah, but it doesn't mean just go like I went. Okay, I did that. Okay, I took a trip. I gave in an offering. I did. It literally means now in your going, as you live out your life, you go and make disciples. So it's every day of our lives. We're to go into the world and make disciples. So it's in our going. Now, you've heard me say it times before, if you've been around Gateway for long, that I don't want us to be a sending church. We talked about that a number of years. I don't want us to be a sending church. I want us to be a going church. Because if we're a sending church, that just feels like to me like we sent you. Now come on back and tell us how that went. We're a going church. So some of you, like the Columbia team, you will literally go to another country perhaps. You might go to Spokane, to our regional outreach there. You might go down to the streets here at Paulsville. You might go, do all those things. You might physically do that. Some of you will go through your giving. Some of you will go through your prayers. We're all to be a part of this ministry of reaching the world for Jesus. So that's our discipleship pathway that we call everyone to be upon. So we gather together weekly. We grow together in a group. We're connected with other people. And then we go together. So let's look at these things. This is why. This is why. Are you ready? Because it's the heart of God. It's the heart of God. His heart breaks, and our hearts are to break for lost people. And for people who have never known what it is to live in true freedom. For people who have never known that peace that goes deep within our heart and deep within our soul because Jesus has made a difference in our life. His heart breaks for those people, and our heart is to break for those people. People who have never known or never heard, you're going to hear today, the gospel message. I'd like for you to just think for just a moment back to the day when you received Jesus. What was it like for you? Just think about it for a moment. I was 9 years old. I mean, I accepted Jesus as a young guy. I was 9 years old. I knelt at an altar. I still remember the words I said. They still impact me to this day, this many years later. Jesus, I surrender to you. As a 9-year-old, someone presented the gospel in a way that I could clearly understand. And I received Jesus that day. He's made a difference in my life. I'd like for you to think about the day that you received Jesus and the difference he's made in your life. Have there been challenges? Yes. But you haven't walked those challenging days alone. You've walked them hand in hand with Jesus. You know the freedom. There are hurting people who have never experienced that. And that's what Jesus calls us individually and corporately into that world of hurting people to share the good news because it's his heart. Then Jesus commanded it. We know that. He says, if you love me, in John 8:31, or in John, you obey my commands. The disciple obeys the commands of Jesus. And then Jesus, like, he left us here for a reason. You are here for a reason, to complete his work. I've said it this way. I'm going to say it again. If you're breathing, you're not done. If you're breathing in air today, you're not done. Jesus is not done with you. You are here for a reason. I'm here for a reason. He's left us here. And then just look around because there are people hurting all around us. And you have the answer, and I have the answer, and we have the answer. And it's into this world that Jesus calls us to go locally, like what we're doing, and so many of you are involved in. All of us are involved in when we give, when we go, when we pray. Regionally, our partners in Spokane. And today we're going to focus in on globally. This is why we go globally. This is why we're committed to unreached people groups.
Absolutely. We're going to dive into what the Bible has to say about that. Why do we go globally? But before we do, I want to ask you a question. How do you deal with the impossible? And the reason I ask that is that some people think that accomplishing the Great Commission, getting the gospel to everyone in the world, is impossible. But I don't think so. I want to show you a few quotes on impossible. The person who says something is impossible should not interrupt the person who is doing it. I love that. It's a Chinese proverb. And then it says, start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible. That's Francis of Assisi, early Christian. Here's one from Muhammad Ali, the famous prize fighter. Impossible is just a big word thrown around by small men who find it easier to live in the world they've been given than to explore the power they have to change it. Impossible is not a fact, it's an opinion. Impossible is not a declaration, it's a dare. Impossible is potential. Impossible is temporary. Impossible is nothing. I like that. Muhammad Ali. Chuck Swindoll said this, we're all faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Isn't that true? That's good. And then my favorite one. Jesus looked at them and he said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
God, man.
All things are possible. And that's good to keep in mind as we talk about the Great Commission and the bigness of the world and the bigness of the task. Remember, God is bigger and it is possible. It's not impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. So that's kind of some background. I want to talk about what the Bible has to say about this thing we call global missions. So we're going to look at bookends. First, at a starting point, and then an end point, and then some perspective on eternity. So you might guess that a starting point for global missions is the Great Commission. The passage we quote so often, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and we're going to come up here, it says this, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that a wonderful thing? There's a lot there we could preach for weeks just on that, but I want to focus on one thing. When he said, go and make disciples of all the nations, he wasn't talking about political countries like we would think of nations today. The word there is ethne, and it refers to people groups, individual ethno-linguistic people groups. He says, go and take the gospel to all of them. That's the beginning of missions. That was the first bookend. There's an end point, though, to missions, too. It's found in Matthew 24, 14. It says this, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations, again that word ethne, will hear it, and then the end will come. Did you catch that? Jesus said the end will come, but not until every people group has had a chance to hear the gospel in a way that they can respond to. That's the other bookend of missions. That's the end point. But you know what? It's not the goal. It's not the goal. The goal of missions is not to reach all the people groups. You might be surprised to hear that. Actually, I think John Piper said it best. He said, missions exist because worship doesn't. The end result that we're looking for is that every people would worship the Lord Jesus Christ around the throne of God. And so the goal we're looking for is found in Revelation 7, 9, and 10. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes, and they held palm branches in their hands, and they worshiped the Lord. All the peoples of all the languages, of all the countries, and all the places, of all of history, are going to gather around the throne of Jesus and worship him together. That's the end game. That's why we do missions. Not for some other reason, but for the glory of God, for his worship. And I don't know about you, but that gets me fired up.
It gets me excited and gets me fired up. Do you know that this is not our forever home? Do you know that, don't you? Your life is not your forever home. My life is not my forever home. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 does, it describes our forever home. There'll be a day when we will be gathered around his throne. And around his throne will be people from every nation and every tribe and every language standing in front of the throne. That's our forever home. Mark it in your Bible. Write it in the column. Whatever you do, there's our forever home. People from every tribe, people from everywhere gathered around the throne worshiping Jesus. That will happen because the gospel witness has gone out to every people group. That's what Gateway. This is why we go. This is why we talk about the things that we do. This is why we're committed to unreached people groups. But it begs the question, how do we do this? I mean, the Great Commission, that can almost be a cliche. And I just ask you, if someone asks you, what's this community Gateway all about? You just tell them, this is one thing about making disciples, about changing lives. That's it. Locally, globally, and everywhere. That's what we're called to do. But how do we do that? How do we do this thing called the Great Commission? How do we reach into the world? What's the challenge before us? What's the task look like? Well, check it out, because it's huge, but unreached does not mean unreachable. And there's a difference. Check it out.
Jesus told us 2,000 years ago that our mission is to go and make disciples of all nations. He also promised us that only after we accomplish that task will we receive the blessing of his return. So, how are we doing accomplishing our mission? To answer that, let's classify the 7 billion people on the earth today into three groups. Let's start with the Christians. About 33% of the world's population would identify itself as Christian. We call this segment of the population World C, C for Christian. It's important to remember that not all of the people that fall into World C are true believers in Christ. They merely identify themselves as Christian because of nominal belief in Jesus, or because they live in a country where everyone is considered Christian, so they would do the same. Next, there's the 38% of the world that has access to the gospel but has chosen not to follow Jesus. They have Bibles in their language, churches nearby, friends or co-workers who are potentially Christians, or access to other Christian resources in their language. These people have access to the good news, but just haven't acted on it yet. This segment of the population is called World B. That leaves us with 29% of the world, just over one out of every four people on this planet, who not only have never heard of Jesus, they have no chance of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. They have no access to the gospel, no Bibles, no churches, no believers nearby, no chance to learn about Jesus. We call that 29% World A. Now, on to missionaries. Only one out of every 1,800 Christians in World C decides to serve as a cross-cultural missionary. So, we can pull 400,000 missionaries out of that World C population. That's our total cross-cultural missionary force worldwide. Did you know that 72% of all our missionaries are going to World C? That's right. The vast majority of the missionaries being sent out are going to the people of the world that have Bibles and established churches. 25% of the missionaries are sent to World B, where there is already some access to the church and to the Bible. That leaves only 3% of the total missionary force to handle all of World A, the section of the population without any chance of hearing about Jesus. 29% of the world has no way to hear the gospel, but we're sending only a tiny portion of our Christian workers to them. What about finances? Annually, all those Christians in World C earn a total of $42 trillion, and together they give about $700 billion to Christian causes each year. That includes everything: Christian nonprofits, churches, youth programs, missions, etc. Can you do the math? Less than 2% of Christian income is being given to Christ's causes. Out of that $700 billion given to all Christian causes, only $45 billion is given to missions specifically. That's a little over 6%. In fact, there is more money reported embezzled from the church each year than is given to missions. Remember those 400,000 missionaries? We have $45 billion to support them and their cross-cultural work. But how exactly is it allocated? Well, $39 billion goes to World C every year. Yep, 87% of that missions money is being spent in areas of the world that have Bibles and churches available. $5.4 billion, or 12%, goes to World B each year, those that have access to the gospel message but have rejected it. That leaves only $450 million, or 1% of all missions money, going to World A, the least reached people of the world. To put that into perspective, annually, Americans spend more money on Halloween costumes for their pets than get sent to World A. To summarize, only 3% of our missionary force, armed with only 1% of missions giving, is going out to reach the 2 billion people who don't have access to the gospel. 2 billion people are still waiting for the good news of Jesus Christ. So here's a question for you. What are you going to do to change that?
This World A, 2 billion. 2 billion people who have never heard the gospel, who don't have access to the gospel. There's no opportunity and there is no chance. Now think about the gospel being shared with a 9-year-old who knelt at an altar in a way that I could understand it. That doesn't exist. 2 billion people. 2 billion people have never had the chance to hear of the good news of the gospel that Jesus saves. Have never heard the opportunity for their forever home, Revelations chapter 9. They've never had the opportunity to place their trust and their faith in Jesus. 2 billion people. More money to Halloween costumes for pets. I'm challenged by that. That's a huge injustice that 2,000 years after Jesus said to go and to make disciples in all the world, only 2.4% of our missionaries are going to the 2 billion people who have never had the chance to hear the good news. So the question that we sit with today is, what is it that we're going to do to change that? What is it that we have decided to do? I'm so thankful that Gateway is committed, you, me, us together, to reaching the unreached people groups of the year, of the world. About 2 years ago or 3 years ago, something like that, we had a wall stretched from there to there with nearly 14,000 unreached people groups in the world. Just think about that. There are currently 7,000 of the 16,000 people groups in the world that are still considered unreached. 7,000 people. There's no gospel witness at all. Gateway is committed to making a difference amongst unreached people groups. Part of this 2 billion number people. And we're devoted to and committed to three unreached people groups. That's what we're going to talk about. Now listen, three isn't a cap. Like, there's no magic number with three. So we believe that Jesus has called us to these three. And that number, I pray, grows. And I pray it grows because the day will come when we're going to remove one of them. Because the work that you're doing, because you're going, because of your prayers, because of your giving, I pray that we will be a part of that day when the Wolof are removed from the unreached people group, the Basque and the Garhwali. But there are three unreached people groups, and we're just going to share as we kind of head for home here some stories of what you're doing. So we're focused on three, the Basque in Spain, the Garhwali in northern India, and then the Wolof in Western Africa. Let's just share a few things that are going on that you're doing.
Yeah, that's a compelling why for going to the world. And now we're going to tell you what is Gateway doing. I want to start with Garhwal in northern India. In 2007, we engaged with the Garhwali people. We had some things going up there, but, you know, as happens in missions, sometimes the enemy got involved and there was conflict and things kind of fell apart. So by 2013, we were kind of wondering, now what, Lord? What do you have for us? What do you want us to do? So in 2014, just in a real God story, I wish I had time to tell you all this morning, we met a fellow with the Assemblies of God Missions called Joseph Gordon. And Joseph is a phenomenal missionary and has been up in the Garhwal region for many years, and we just didn't know it, and we finally connected with him. I want to read you just a short excerpt from a letter he sent us recently. He shared how 15 years ago, he took a number of students up into the Garhwal Hills, in the foothills of the Himalaya. And they were traveling up there, and they crossed a bridge across a glacial river into a village, and they were not well received. In fact, they took all the tracks they had and threw them in the river, burned them. They yelled at them, struck one of the guys, told him to leave quickly, or things would get out of hand. So they left, and as they left, they prayed and said, Lord, we don't know what you're going to do here, but may it be something. 15 years, fast forward. They're sitting in this town where they live, and three men come walking in from out in the countryside, obviously not from the city by what they're wearing. Turns out they're from that same village where 15 years ago they had been thrown out. And they said that there's been a revival up there. People are coming to faith. And so they're able to send some of their workers up there, and they baptized 14 people. 20 families are now involved in the church. And God is at work. God is at work. He is always at work. We just don't always see it. So exciting things are happening in Garhwal. We're partnering with a sister church down in Olympia, and we're doing some things to help the six pastors that you see in the picture flash by up here, who we met when we were over there in January, that Joseph has been discipling. And some of the things we've been doing to help them, one of them wanted to finish his theological education, so we helped him with that so that he could teach others We've helped some of these guys send their kids to Christian school because their alternative is a Hindu school, and you can imagine that's not a good situation. We bought a motorcycle through the generosity of one of you here for a pastor who needed one to carry out his ministry. We funded a coffee shop. And you go, a coffee shop? Well, we like coffee. But there's more to it than that. It's also a discipleship center. In the back room, they're doing discipleship constantly with these pastors and with other believers there. And in the front, when they serve coffee, it's a natural opportunity to share the gospel. So it's also an evangelism center. And you have helped make that happen. It's an awesome way for them to continue their work there. And we, in the future, hope to fund an ice cream parlor for the similar reasons. That's a discipleship center and evangelism and a sewing shop. So praise God. He is at work in Garhwal.
Amen. Now, I want to say something here because so that we have a really correct, the perspective correct. These six guys rode their motor scooters, some of them up to 7 hours to come and meet with us. And the reason is because we couldn't go and meet with them there because they faced persecution. Abraham, the guy closest to Dave there, up in Josima, where we went to, he had to come down and meet us because when we went there, couldn't be a part of a gathering or something because these guys faced persecution. And some of it very, very intense. They're reaching out. These are believers. They're reaching out. Some of them are pastoring two people in their home. One, I think, has up to 20 or something like that. Mm-hmm. They're reaching out into the villages that are set into the Himalayas. And so if you could just think of a mountain range, and if you look up on this mountain range, there's a village, there's a village, there's a village, there's a village, there's a village there. You can see them kind of smattered through here. There's a village there connected by trails. They don't even speak the same dialect, many of them. They're like 9,000 villages up there, and they're unreached. They're part of that 2 billion where there's no gospel witness. And so we're able to work with these partners and say, look, we're going to help you to reach them. Now, when you have helped in your going by your giving, we're helping to start a micro business ice cream parlor. But do not think of Mora Mora, because that's not what it's like. It's more like an ice cream stand, right? The sewing tailor shop, I think it was. Just think of a sewing machine, you know, on a table somewhere. That's a tailor shop. That, you know what it costs us to start these micro businesses? You've given to it. How much is it?
$1,000? For a sewing machine?
Yeah.
$500?
Yeah. And it sets them up to reach people. That's what you're doing. It's part of your going. God's accomplishing great things through it.
God is at work in Garhwal, and thank you for those of you who are praying for them. I want to talk for a couple minutes about the Basque Country in Spain. About 2005, we engaged with an outfit here locally called Summer in the USA. And what they do is they bring Basque students over here for a month in the summer. And these Basque students come, and they have never heard the gospel. And they live with Christian families. And over the last 10 years, we've had about 100 students come and stay with families here at Gateway. Isn't that amazing? 100 families over there have been impacted by you, by having students in your home. They go back, and now they're being discipled. We've also had a chance to send a missionary couple over there. Many of you know Brock and Nancy Baker. They're back now, but they've spent 4 years over there developing the ministry and discipling Basque people. And I want you to hear from them, God, and what God is doing.
Hi, I'm Brock Baker, and this is my wife, Nancy. We've been members at Gateway for 22 years. For the last four, we've been serving as your missionaries among the Basque people on the borders of Spain and France, serving with Summer in the USA.
The Basque are an unreached people group. Less than 0.1% of Basque people are actively following Jesus. There's still no known Basque-speaking church in the world. Missionaries have had a hard time penetrating this difficult people. In fact, one missionary served over there for 20 years and never once was invited into a Basque person's home.
But we're excited to report to you that God is at work among the Basque. Over the past 15 years, God has allowed Summer in the USA to make a real impact on the Basque culture because of the Basque people's interest in the English language.
For the first time that I know of, a Bible study has begun with students who have returned from their Summer in the USA experience. These students gained a desire to follow Jesus while they were living here in the US practicing English and then returned home to Basque Country and asked on their own initiative for one of our Basque disciples to help lead them in a Bible study. They want to grow in their relationship with Christ. This is a new thing that God is doing. Many students involved in Summer in the USA over the past years have shown interest in Christ while here, but this is the first time in memory that students have gone home and wanted to continue to grow in Jesus back in Basque Country.
We mentioned that one of our young disciples is leading this new Bible study. For 4 years, we've worked hard and prayed that we'd have disciples in Basque Country and reach other Basques with the message of Christ. Several of these young Basque believers have told us that they feel that God is calling them to be more involved in helping reach the Basque for Christ. At least four of these young disciples are meeting regularly to talk about what they can do to reach the Basque.
This, too, is a new thing that God is doing. The thing we really want to let you know about this mission is that God is working in the Basque Country. In the past decades, the Basque have been incredibly resistant to the gospel. There are many reasons for this, but things are changing in Basque Country. One of our Basque disciples told us that this past summer, in 2015, she saw more students interested in the Bible and wanted to talk about spiritual things than any of the four summers she's been involved with us so far. God is moving, and the veil of darkness is being pushed back.
I believe there will be a major move of God in the Basque Country soon. And when this movement takes place, I firmly believe that many of the Basque students who've been a part of the Summer in the USA program and had so many people praying for them will be some of the Basque people at the front lines of this movement.
Amen. I don't know if you know, but I think we had 14 Basque students staying at Gateway this summer. One of those families that hosted a student was the Eaton family, if you know Tim and Shelley. Just an excerpt from something she wrote to me about their experience. She said, their Basque student became our daughter. We introduced her as our daughter, and to this day we call her our daughter. I cannot explain the love that gave all three of us for her instantly when we met her. God did something miraculous in our hearts. And then she shared this. By the end of the month, we were blessed to have our student ask if she could pray in her native language of Basque. We told her yes, and this was the most beautiful sound we've ever heard. We are making a difference in the lives of students and in the families and in Basque Country because of Summer in the USA. To God be all the glory.
It's hard to understand, but amongst the 4 million or so Basque, there are less than 200 believers.
Yeah,
I think that's true.
1/10 of 1%.
1/10 of 1%, and there is no church. No church planting.
Nowhere in the world.
Nowhere
is there a Basque-speaking indigenous church.
Finally, before we go today, we're involved in reaching the Wolof in West Africa. You've heard us talk a lot about that in the last number of days because the team just returned. We've been involved in this little village. Gateway is the only faith community that's involved in reaching this village of 8,000 Wolof. We started going there a few years ago, found a need that was existing within the village here, and that was to build a wall around the school. And you can see the wall here. So we came back and we shared that with you, and you responded in this way. Our students, of the $10,000 that we needed to build this wall, the students of Gateway gave $5,000 for that. That's incredible. Listen, the children gave $3,000, over $3,000, and you gave the rest. And we sent the funds over, working with a local Senegalese church, this pastor by a Wolof believer, by the way, and you built this wall and restrooms. There were no restrooms for the kids. The chief of the village and his elders were so concerned because a student had been killed, and they were trying to protect their children. So when you did that, when you built that wall, here's what happened. In fact, it's why we say it's not a wall, it's a bridge. Doors to the gospel began to be opened up. And our team members on the field there that we partner with, our missionaries, will tell you we have been able to go into the village like never before because of this wall that was built. That's why we call it a bridge. There are ladies' Bible studies going on, story time. Right now, we were just told this year, that's the chief of the village right here. And by the way, those are some sunglasses that you gave him. Oh, right there. There's a student's Bible club now that we're able to have at the school here that they allow. It's a bridge, not a wall. The stories are incredible. The team that went over, Brooke Parsons, and I saw Brooke here earlier this morning, was a part of that. And I just share with you this story because it really, I think, captures what's going on. Brooke made connections with one of the ladies in the village, and that lives actually near the school here. And at the end of our time there, Carr gave Brooke her name, which is a significant thing, by the way, in African culture. And here's why. She says, she, Brooke, showed love to me in a way she listened and wanted to hear about my life. Now, I love her to and we share a name. This day was even made more special today because I heard something new about God in a story that was shared. That he is a God of mercy and love. To remember, this is a Wolof lady who doesn't know Jesus. I know this is true because his people that have come to work in our village have shown me his love. I want to continue learning stories about this God like the one I heard today. I love this village, and so I love everyone who loves this village. It means waiting for God. Hariala, and we refer to it as XY. Hariala means waiting for God. And it's, this is what my name means too, and it's true. I'm waiting for God. And now we wait for him together. See, what's happening is because of our going as a faith community, the doors of the gospel are beginning to be opened in this little village of 8,000 Wolof, an unreached people group. And incredible things are starting to happen. Hariala, waiting for God. She says, now I'm waiting for God, and I want to learn more about God. And there's opportunities to continue reaching into the village. This is what you're doing. Some are going. Some have gone. Some will go. Some are giving. I pray all of us are praying. And now we have a new opportunity that we learned of, and that's to kind of extend the school. And I want to talk to you about that because I'm going to ask you to give in just a few moments. Told you that we're going, a congregation, we are people who give. This straw, or whatever you call it,
bamboo
wood, classroom is on the end of the school building. This is the wall that you built. Kids are now meeting in this bamboo room because there are too many for the school building, the school room, about 80 students there. They're approaching the hot time of the year where I think the temperatures get to about 120 or even beyond, and that's what they're meeting. And so when we met with the chief and the elders and those runners, said we've got to have a schoolroom to protect the children. And we didn't say anything to him, but we got together and thought, you know what, we can do that. It's $4,000. That's how much it is. And I'm going to ask you to give to that. I had someone tell me one day, so just tell us how much do you need? How much do we need? It's $4,000 to build this room. Doesn't seem like a lot of money, and it's made out of cinder block or concrete block. In fact, the wall, the end of the wall here that we already built is providing for one side of it, and now to finish off, it's about $4,000. And it will continue to do what we've talked about, and that is to open up doors of the gospel into the village. I can tell you story after story after story. In fact, our missionary partner on the ground said, you don't understand what the building of this wall has done. You don't understand.
Absolutely. It's not about the building. It's not about the wall. It's about the goodwill that's created and the open doors to their hearts that result because we do these things for them. I wish you could have been there to hear their stories. It's amazing.
It's amazing. So in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to pray. And the ushers are going to be at the doors. And I'm just going to ask you to give. I just want to ask you to respond to what Jesus is saying to you today. Jen and I participated already today. I wouldn't ask you to do something that we wouldn't do ourselves. And I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you to think about those who have not yet heard the gospel. I'm going to ask you to think about the opportunity that Jesus is giving to us right now. Now, some of you will be able to write a check out this morning and just put Gateway, slash XY, or in the memo, put XY. If you want to do it online, you join us online this morning. You can do that by going to the give and just make a notation on the memo side there. If you're here and you go like, well, it's the first time I heard about it, and it's because it's the first time we've talked about it, and you can give, say, by the end of the month or by a certain date, take an offering envelope and just write on there whatever the amount is by such and such date, and we will forward the funds. We will advance the funds so they can build it. Now, here's the deal. 100% of what you give goes to this village. 100%. We don't keep anything for administrative costs or to pay, you know, our missions pastor's salary or anything. 100% of what you give is going to, if we go over the 4,000, and I believe that we will, look, there are so many opportunities in the village for us to be a part of. Your money will be designated for X, Y, Harial, waiting for God. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Couple things after I pray, if you just will hold steady for a second. But will you join with me? And I'm just going to walk us through praying for our community, our local outreach, our regional outreach, and our unreached people groups, and then we'll be on our way. And so, Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to be a part of reaching the world with the good news of the gospel. I thank you, Lord, because you have called each one of us. We're a going community. We do that individually, and we do that as a faith community. And I believe that you've opened up opportunities for us here locally, feeding thousands of people every year. Operation Day of Hope coming up. Backpacks. Daily distribution of food. Meeting the needs of people. God, I thank you for this community that responds to your call. I thank you, Lord, for our regional partners over in Spokane, that we can be a part of what you're doing there in this community that so desperately needs to hear about you. And for the Foxes, Lord, who have committed to living there. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have had to reach into the world globally amongst these unreached people groups. And thank you for what you're doing amongst the Garhwali, high in the Himalayas in northern India. For the stories we heard from Brock and Nancy about how the gospel seems to be taking root amongst the Basque, who have been closed for hundreds of years. Thank you for the stories that we're starting to hear out of this little village called Harjala XY, and the opportunities to share the good news of the gospel. I thank you for this community that responds to your call. So we commit these things to you, Jesus. I just pray that each one of us would just respond to what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now in the lobby today, you're going to find just some things here. Actually, we brought Dutchies back from Africa. These are totes. These are excellent. I share with you already. I brought one back from my wife. It changed her. And I think they're actually just for donation. Is that true?
Yeah, whatever donation you want to make. And 100% of it goes toward our Wolof ministry. Our ladies from our Wolof team are out there to help you out by the coffee shop.
And I think we have some that some of you pre-ordered or pre-bought, and you paid $30 for them. So we have those. I think they're somewhere.
We do.
So check all that stuff out. Also, Heidi, raise your hand right here. Okay, so Heidi, she leads this. Next Sunday is Life Chain, October 4th, 2 o'clock. Silverdale and Richshaw Boulevard near Kitsap Mall. Lasts about 1 hour. So, Heidi, if you can just position yourself out in the lobby, okay? Out in the lobby there. Why don't you go now? So, people can see you when you go. So, that's Heidi right there.
That's to celebrate life.
Yeah, celebrate life. And so, if you want to know, then she will help you, okay? To be a part of that. So, thank you, Heidi. Thank you, everyone, for coming today. Next week is our prayer Sunday. Man, don't miss next Sunday. We're just going to pray and believe that Jesus is going to do amazing things. Amen. Father, we go in your grace and your mercy. Bless these people for staying late today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
See you next
amen.
Week.
Thank you.